Blog Talk Radio.
And yes, he was a dreamer, and that dream has turned into a nightmare. All right, welcome to Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. See, I believe I have two guests. I think is it Doreen LaGuardia and I think one John Scott. Is that right? Are y'all with us? Okay. Well, it looks like we're having a little bit of trouble here. Let's see here. I'll go ahead and put the music back on while we try to get that together. Hold on. All right, let's see here. Are y'all with us?
Good morning. Yes, can you hear me? I'm Doreen.
Yes, there we go. Hey, Doreen. This is Doreen LaGuardia, right?
Yes.
Okay, Dave just gave me the first name. Okay, hold on.
okay. I'm glad to be here. I am the CEO of Students for a Better Future. We are an educational institute.
And I'm glad to see you on again. I've seen you on Facebook and stuff, and we've had you on the show prior, if anybody new is listening to this. So we're definitely familiar with your stuff. Very good research and everything. So basically, I just played something that might kind of have to do with what we're dealing with now, the cultural Marxism and multiculturalism. And, John Lennon, he's a great entertainer and he's a really good musician. And, that song sounds so sweet. But I kind of think that some of those ideas are just as bad as the music sounds good.
Yes, you got it.
Destroying religion and government will all of a sudden make humanity great. Doesn't look like, it looks like a lot of that has gone on, and yet it doesn't seem to have made a positive difference.
Right. And I can explain why. Is everybody familiar with Marxism in general? Because that is the total nationalization of your economic system. That's the original Karl Marx in his manifesto. But what happened And let's take you back to the early 1900s. And by the way, I just want to tell everybody that my family comes from communist countries, one side from East Germany and the other side actually from Italy. It's not communist, it's fascist, but they have a very strong communist country over there. And the Marxism, of course, started in the 1800s, of course, under Karl Marx. And, you know, that whole time period was basically, I would say, thought was a big issue because, you know, they had the ruling class and then everybody else, the bourgeoisie. But if you go back to the early 1900s, let's go back to the Weimar Republic, because that is a very good time period. It's a time period prior to World War II in Germany and prior to taking Adolf Hitler taking the reins there. They had a school. It was called the Frankfurt School in Germany. And there was all these scholars were there. But there was two of them who I want to point out. One of them was Antonio Gramsci, and the other one I got to get the name correct. But anyhow, I'm going to take you back to that time period and explain what's going on in our education system today. And that was a great song for you to play in the opener, because that kind of relates to this. But cultural Marxism is actually a branch of Western Marxism. It is not the same as the Marxism-Leninism of the old Soviet Union. It's commonly known as multiculturalism, or less formally, we call it political correctness today. And from its beginning, the promoters of the cultural Marxism have known that they could be more effective if they concealed the Marxist nature of their work, and hence we have the term called multiculturalism. But in this time period, and everybody thinks it began in the 1960s, but if I can put a date on this, it's actually 1919, immediately after World War I, and that's when the Weimar Republic was installed in Germany. Marxist theory had predicted that in 1919, in the event of a big European war, the working class all over Europe would rise up and overthrow capitalism and create communism. But when the war came in 1914 and that didn't happen, and when it finally did happen in 1917, workers in the European countries did not support it. So these two Marxist theorists, Antonio Gramsci and George Lukács in Hungary, came to some answer. And what they said was Western culture, and what they blamed is the Christian religion. What they had said was the Christian religion had so blinded the working class to its true Marxist class interests that communism was impossible in the West until both could be destroyed. And if you remember that time period, we had people suing the school system saying that prayer had to be taken out. And that was the first attack on the United States education system. In 1919, Lukács asked, who will save us from Western civilization? And that same year, this fellow Lukács became deputy commissioner for culture in the short-lived Bolshevik Béla Kun government in Hungary. And when he did that, one of his first things he did was he introduced sex education into the public school, Hungary's public school. He knew that if he could destroy the West's traditional sexual morals, he would have taken a giant step in destroying Western culture itself. And look what we have today in our public education today. A lot of it is about sex education. But in 1923, inspired in part by Lukács, a group of German Marxists established, this is the think tank Frankfurt University in Germany. It was actually not really a university. it was actually renamed the Institute for Social Research, and this institute, it became the Frankfurt School, and this thing would actually become the creator of modern cultural Marxism as we know today. So this time period, very lucrative time in Germany, because Germany had to pay a lot of debt for the war. You know, jobs weren't all there. It kind of reminds us of today, what's going on in today's society. Morality was not very high. You know, they had a lot of immoral stuff. Like today, we have a lot of pornography that's out there, a lot of same-sex marriage. So I'm drawing a parallel between what's going on today and what's going on back then. So what happened was, to translate Marxism from economic into cultural terms, the members of this Frankfurt School, Max Horkheimer, Theodor Adorno, William Reich, Eric Fromm, and Herbert Marcuse, to name the most few, had to contradict Marx on several points. They argued that culture was not just a part of what Marx had called society superstructure, but an independent and very important variable. And they also said that the working class would not lead a Marxist revolution because it was becoming part of the middle class and the hated bourgeoisie. So, and to answer that question, who would lead the cultural revolution? In the 1950s, Marcuse answered that question. He says a coalition of blacks, students, feminists, women, and homosexuals. And what do we have today? We have Black Lives Matter. The students have been a little bit quiet, but they're also actively organizing on Facebook and everywhere else. You have the feminists and you have the homosexuals. And what did we have? A Supreme Court decision that basically said that same sex can marry one another. So this is their war on our culture. So what happened was, for America, and I say fatefully, Hitler came into power in Germany in 1933. And as soon as he did, the Frankfurt School fled, because they knew that Hitler would come in and shut them down. And so what they did, they reestablished themselves here in New York City and Chicago. In New York City, they established a branch in Columbia University, and in Chicago, it's Chicago University. And they shifted its focus from destroying traditional Western culture in Germany to destroying it in the United States. So now we have these group of people that have come from Germany to the United States, two big institutions, Columbia Institution, University of Chicago, both who are teaching institutions, and I say teaching institutions in that they are big at training teachers how to teach young children. And that's an issue, because teachers have power over your children, and they also write the curriculum. So now we have this thing here in New York and in Chicago. And so what they did was, they invented a curriculum called critical theory. And what is this theory? It's to criticize every traditional institution, starting with the family, brutally and unremittingly, in order to bring them down. And, you know, we see these courses, and particularly in college, we see critical writing, critical queer theory, critical whiteness studies, and it is even filtered in the K-12 system as well. And in this type of theory curriculum, and by the way, to a larger extent, has been incorporated into Common Core. So this series of curriculum also wrote a series of studies in prejudice, which said that anyone who believes in traditional Western culture is prejudiced, racist, sexist, fascists, and they're also mentally ill. So we can see it right now. Go ahead.
They're a basket of deplorables.
Did you want to ask? Yes, deplorable. Deplorable, yes. So what is happening here is the ties that had made us once great have been worn down. So now each group here in the United States is pretty much pitted against one another, sort of like a conquer and divide strategy. And when you have a conquer and divide strategy like such, the groups are get involved in fighting with one another and do not see the big picture of what's going on here. So I also want to tell you this, that this Frankfurt School crossed Marx with Freud, taking from psychology the technique of psychological conditioning. And today, when the cultural Marxists want to say something like normalize homosexuality, they do not argue the point philosophically. They just beam in all of our televisions. You know, they show you an act of homosexuality on there, and then the American household learns to think that that's normal. And I can say the same thing with pornography. You know, they beam a sexual act inside the American household, and then kids see that at a very normal age. So so that is very important. A lot of people don't see that, how they incorporated Freud into the cultural Marxist. And because today, I will tell you this, because we also do stuff with human trafficking and its connection to the pornography. And both are awful. One precludes the other, and they're incorporated. And pretty much today, you know, you can't watch a program where somebody is not doing a sexual act, you know. And the porn on the computer, I mean, my God, it's almost everywhere. So so now you have the Freud that's involved in it. And, you know, I would say that how it's conditioning the minds of Americans is awful. We're not nearly as productive as we used to be, you know, and we're leading our minds down a path of degeneration. But anyhow, so they did that, and then after World War II ended, most of the members of the Frankfurt School, they did go back to Germany. However, one, Herbert Marcuse, stayed in America, and he took the abstract works of the other Frankfurt School members and repackaged them in ways that our college students can read and understand. And this fella, okay, was also the author of the book Eros and Civilization, in which he argued that by freeing sex from any restraints, we could elevate the pleasure of people, the pleasure principle, over the reality principle, and create a society with no work and play. And, you know, and his phrase on that was make love, not war. And I see that today, again, going back to the pleasure over principle, with the pornography out there. In fact, the DSM-5, the American Psychological Association, wants to proceed and go ahead and classify that as a disorder, because the porn is so prevalent today that the addiction rate has gone up. I don't know if it's by about 10% the last time I remember, but and the students, kids are viewing that at a very early age before they can even understand sex. And so, you know, with that going up, that on the rise, okay, and if they classify it as a disorder, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing overall, because then somebody can actually stay home and collect a disability check by watching pornography, you know. So you now have the Eros part that has risen, you know, and as a culture, we are not as productive as we used to be. And all of this comes from Marcuse's book, Eros and Civilization, in which he argued that by freeing sex from any restraints, we could elevate the pleasure principle over the reality principle and create a society with work and only play. So, you know, now we have people, you know, thinking that, you know, they don't have to work. They can just do what they need to do, you know, just stay home and collect a check, you know, and they'll live off of that. So in the 1960s, Marcuse became the chief guru of this new left, and he injected the cultural Marxism of the Frankfurt School into the baby boom generation to the point where it is now America's state of ideology, okay? And that's kind of what we have ruling here. You know, if you want to chime in or ask me a question at any time, go ahead. Or do you just enjoy listening? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, basically, this is kind of one of the big themes that I'm seeing is that it's really that sexuality that's fueling Marxism right now, because people get hooked and people get addicted and people get into alternative lifestyles. And basically, they just become dumbed down. They don't really, you know, reason is not their number one thing. And, you know, I've, you know, argued on science issues and stuff, and I've noticed people who are supposed to be intellectual refusing to reason. They just, you know, they just make fun of people and all that kind of stuff, but they don't really use logic anymore. And so, you know, the will is the big problem, and, you know, there's sex addiction. Well, is there an antidote to that? Or is it just like this inevitable falling away of the culture?
Is there an antidote? That's a very good question. I'm going to say yes, but it's going to take work. So it's kind of like a two-step thing. See, the ties that binded us prior to this was our number one religion, okay? Christianity taught morality, and of course it still does today. That's number one. And number two, first, people have to recognize that that we are in a war. That's the first thing. And the more and more groups like ours go out and distribute literature and make people realize what this is, that is the first step. Because then, you know, the more and more they turn off their TV, okay, like, for example, our household, we don't allow any of these channels in here. You know, we may even get rid of TV. And the computer, the computer. I kind of call that a different story. But once more and more people start to realize what this is, that's the first step. The second part, which we're kind of working on, actually, with the sex. Like the porn is all over the place, okay? What we want to do is, but in New Jersey, is make it a two-step process for somebody to enter a pornography site. And what they will have to do is show some kind of proof. And it has to be a gradual step of pushing back in the other direction, and that's going to take time. It might take 60 or 70 years. The reason being because it's so bad now, and it's so, you know, it's so normalized that to get it out we have to reverse the process in a step-by-step way. But the first thing everybody can do is to realize what is going on. And by the way, multiculturalism is not good for any culture. So not just the ruling class, it's any culture. Even the blacks, okay, they fall for this, you know, and they don't realize how it's dumbing down their culture as well. So,
well, and yeah, you know, one of the things is that when you are raising your child, you have your traditions automatically, you know, your traditions get set aside, and so each generation gets a little bit less and less as we get more of this, you know, connected global mainstream culture just infecting everything.
Right. So, you know, so the two things that we can do is go back to our religion, because that's the first tie that binds everybody, that teaches the morality and how to respect people. And that's the first thing. And then the second thing, then you'll see start to see the laws start to fall into place. Because right now, this law, they actually started it in Florida, and it's being objected by a lot of people in the legislature because they say it violates free speech, some of it. So, and, you know, the other issue is you have a lot of people who were in this generation of the 60s who just think it's nothing. You know, they think that all of this is normal.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the generation that's ahead of me. You know,
well,
and I would like to say something to them. Step down, because your time has had it. That's my message to them, you know. But go ahead.
Well, like, one of the things I noticed was that when there was a switch, you know, what we noticed, like, let's say in the 80s, and it kind of depends on, like, you know, if you were a city person or a country person or somewhere in the middle. But basically, I noticed that people were a lot more in my environment. They're a lot more culturally conservative, yet they never had any backing behind it. It was just the tradition was still left over. It was still kind of, you know, hanging around. And, it, you know, the ideas that we were being taught, though, kind of made you wonder, like, you know, okay, well, if evolution's true, then how do I know that there's any morality? How do I know that there's any distinctions or whatever, because we all came from the rock? And so, you know, I started seeing this, you know, kind of develop. And, you know, people at the time, the adults, they just assumed a culturally conservative mentality and didn't really ever dare to, like, defend it. They just kind of said, this is the way it is, and that's it. And, you know, all things switch over. And, you know, now I think that what we're going to experience is that, you know, the ideal world, it's a lot harder because, you know, it's a lot harder to mainstream some of these things. But I think in the creation science battle, I think that we've won. I think that intellectually, you know, it's like God and materialism can't stand on its own. So people are in the opposite, kind of like, you know, leftist values, leftist ideas, and that's just the way it is. And so, you know, I'm hoping, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder for us than it was for the 60s and stuff. But basically, I'm hoping that we can, you know, kind of hit these ideas and, you know, win the battle in a generation or so. Of course, that's assuming that, you know, the Lord doesn't come back. But, you know, basically, I think that's where we're at, is that, you know, we can swing back to the next generation, but it's going to be harder for us than it was to begin with.
Right. There is one good positive sign out of this. And that is the fact that now we have so many people who are addicted to pornography, you know, and we have so many people who are in, you know, who don't see this, that people like myself or a researcher can now study the effects, like, for example, on pornography, and make amends to our constitution, because now we have the literature and the population to do it on. Whereas before we didn't have this. We didn't know, we didn't have this over explosion of hypersexuality, and so we didn't know what to look for. So that's one positive thing. If I want to relieve everybody's tensions, you know, and plus, sometimes we may need to see the end result before we make a change within ourselves. And what I mean by that is, you know, we need to see how bad it's going to get and experience it before we go ahead and accept the change in the other way. Sort of like a learning tool.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, the rest of us who see it right now, you know, may also are also involved in it too. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing on that. But yes, in answer to your question before, we can bring this back the other way, but it's going to take a little hard work and a little time, and all of us to change. So
how are things with, let me switch this around a little bit. How are things going with your organization right now? I think it's been about a year or two since we really talked in depth. I just want to see how things are going with Students for a Better Future.
Yes. We're doing our job inch by inch, slow by slow. It is a slow process because, you know, I mean, I get a lot of speeches and I do a lot of writings and I do a lot of research. I talk to a lot of people and in particular students. We're actually having internships right now. And, you know, so they work with me and get to know me. And that, you know, and then they learn that I'm not such a beast in a half, you know, and particularly the liberal ones, because we do give them to liberal students as well, and they're kind of interesting. But yes, we are doing pretty good, and you know, and our direction is what we want to do is to ultimately have these students write curriculum and get engaged in the process and, you know, and do parent-teacher workshops, and particularly in the K-12 system that talks about a lot of this stuff. So that's where we're heading. You know, again, it's a slow process, but it's the one that's there. I believe that, you know, if Donald Trump doesn't get in, this is the only way that you will take the society back. Because it's a slim chance, a very slim chance, but it is a chance. So, you know, and not to say that Donald Trump is exactly the best candidate, you know, but he is a lot better than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is, according to her foundation, she, I'd say according to our research and has it on her foundation about all the illegal activities that she was doing. So,
well, and here's the thing, like with Trump, you have somebody, yes, on a personality and, you know, his personal history, you do have stuff there, but when we talk about what he's going to do, it could be anywhere. I'd say, you know, like, let's say if he's a total liar, I think he'll still go 80% in our direction. If he's telling us the truth as far as the speeches and stuff, it could be close to up to 99% of what we want. And basically, you've got somebody in there who is a fighter, And that's what we really need, is somebody to, you know, push, you know. So, like, he didn't go exactly where he wanted. He thinks it's a huge step forward where we are right now. And, you know, things have gone down so far, thankfully. Come on.
Right. And another thing that can alleviate this and break this cultural Marxism is the homeschoolers and the charter schools, okay, should that bill ever get passed. Because then the parents will have the right to choose how their kid is educated and what their kid is being taught in the school system. So that's a very big role here. I forgot to mention them, but go ahead. I cut you off.
Well, like I was going to ask, what are, you know, some things like, you know, I think that Gramsci had, you know, even though he had an evil idea, he had a good strategy that we could, like, probably learn from, too, and that's infecting the culture. You know, what are some ways, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, we sort of, I think things sort of moved in a good direction with contemporary Christian music, but I think it's, the message is kind of dumbed down for popularity and stuff like that. But what are some ways that...
And not only did they use this method in taking over the education system, they took it over all other systems as well, like the media, and, you know, it's in our government. So... You know, and particularly Hollywood. Okay, Hollywood is a complete destroyer of this stuff. So, you know, and right now, I mean, in our household, we don't have a lot of those movies. You know, we actually filter a lot of them. You know, because
with the Christian movies that are starting to make it into theaters.
Mhm. Yep. So, a couple of them have come out. The biggest thing on breaking this cultural Marxism is, again, to go back to your Christian values, and because those are the ties that unite and not divide. Every culture, you know, has wants to have a man and a woman as their marriage partner. You know, every culture teaches respect. I mean, every religion teaches respect and love and all that, no matter what the color of your skin is. You know, so, and that's where these values come from. So getting back to that. That's what people need to do. They need to go back to God first. How we do that? We have to work on changing the minds of both the people and our young students. So,
I think that, like, we have done some things, but basically. I think it's just an issue of awareness. I think that, you know, like, you see some early movements. There was some movements and, you know, some Christian music and stuff like that. But I don't think it was as direct because we didn't really, you know, we were kind of still lulled and stuff like that into thinking that it wasn't that big of a deal. But basically, we have to fight on every level, whether it's... and our entertainment and our culture and all the
right.
stuff that goes
on. Right.
We're going, we got about 5 minutes left, just so that you don't, you know, get thrown off the edge in the middle of the conversation.
right. But, you know, if your listeners can go to studentsforabetterfuture.com, you will find out what the group is about there, and that's where We accept donations because we are a nonprofit. And then also, since we do have 5 minutes, the part on there, because we also have the Global Center for Justice on Human Trafficking, and that's the one that sees the all the stats on the pornography and the human trafficking. And which, by the way, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, because this weekend we had found out that the cyber sex is very big in human trafficking. That involves the use of the computer. And this week we learned that you can actually place a camera in your bedroom, okay, and lure, let's say you have a partner, you can lure him or her without even knowing about it. You know, you can have fun in your bedroom, okay, and it can be caught on film because the camera is hidden. And we've seen cases of that now here popping up in the United States. And the victim doesn't even know that he or she is being filmed on camera. We've seen this with kids, cameras being placed in the bathroom with kids. We've seen that before. Just the first time now we've actually seen it in the bedrooms and people being filmed and the victim doesn't even know it. Yeah.
Is there a log yet?
So
hidden camera, is that illegal yet?
I'm sorry. It is illegal if the person does not know they're being filmed. I don't know what the law is, but these people are very clever. They're, you know, in their manipulation. And then what the person does who lures his victim into that, they will post pictures up on the other internet and trade it for Bitcoin. So it's not easy for the FBI to catch. So that, yeah, you know, so that's another thing. Now in this world, we have to be careful. We have to watch the predators that are out there doing it. And we've seen it with children where cameras were placed in the bathroom and the children would go use the bathroom and then these pictures would be pasted on the other internet, in sites like PedoBook and whatnot. The kids didn't have no idea they were being filmed because this camera looked like a soap dish or something, you know.
Yeah.
And these pictures went out to
not part of the mainstream conversation yet, and that's one thing we have to fight to do is the. Get this out there. It's not just what people are watching. It's the prostitution, the kidnapping, the spying, and all that kind of stuff. We definitely need to look out for that. All right. Well, I guess we're about out of time.
Okay.
I really appreciate having you on. You're welcome to come on the show anytime in the future. Rationally, you know, it's like if I'm sleeping, obviously I can't have you on the show, but basically we definitely appreciate what you're doing, Doreen.
Yes, and thank you for having me, Matt.
All right. Well, we will see everybody later here on Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio.
Okay, right. Bye.